I actually think the best decision would be to trade Ryan Miller. I'm not sure it's possible, but Ben Kuzma from the Vancouver province joins us. Ben, how are you?
Things here are as clear as mud, guys. I'm glad everybody has a name to go to Toronto with, and things are percolating in other markets and other sports and other endeavors. But if you mention goaltending and Vancouver, I can tell you today, after speaking with Jim Benning this afternoon, that things aren't as clear as people make them out to be. And it's not a slam dunk that it's going to be one guy or the other, but they are going to move a goaltender,
yeah.
And it's not Ryan Miller.
So it's Markstrom or it's Lack. It's interesting. I know Bruce Garriott had it a few weeks ago that Jim Benning, according to his source, was asking for a second rounder for Eddie Lack, which that's mm-hmm. it. I was like, well, hey, you know what? Teams probably would have lined up to do that. I counted at least seven teams who are looking for goaltenders right now. Edmonton, Calgary, Dallas, Arizona, arguably in the West, and then the bottom three teams in the Eastern Conference. And I don't know if Vancouver would be opposed to trading him within the division. Do you think they would?
Oh, I don't think that's a problem anymore. I think it's about getting the best deal. And, it's complicated in Vancouver. I mean, I don't know too many people here who were fans of Ryan Miller's three-year deal. The money, I guess, is there. I think the problem in Vancouver is that the mandate for Jim Benning is twofold. It's like everybody else, get younger, faster, better, but hey, make the playoffs too. And when you have to serve two masters, I think a lot of that factored into the Miller signing for starters because, yeah, in a perfect hockey world, sure, why not move Miller and have two goaltenders who look like they can take that next step into being everyday guys in the NHL, but that's simply not the case here in Vancouver. So it's dovetailed to who's more marketable, who could you move? Eddie Lack, body of work at the NHL level, certainly trumps Markstrom. And the thing with Markstrom, 50 games at the NHL level, he's under a 900 average. He's one of those guys who plays great in the AHL. He's not the first guy to be a great goaltender down there, having trouble transcending his game to this level. Last year he came up for one game here against San Jose and let in three goals in the first four shots and had a sleepless night and was beside himself, and then a few weeks later in Arizona, he beat the Coyotes 2-1 and looked great. And from everything I've heard and everybody I've talked to, his run in the AHL all the way to the Calder Cup final was great. And I can understand where Jim Benning's coming from. Of course he's going to say he's ready for the NHL.
Yeah.
Of course. I mean, he's banging the marketing drum because, let me tell you, the Vancouver Canucks are one knee injury away from Ryan Miller having that knee flare up on again next fall to going with Jacob Markstrom. And that scares the whatever out of me because Eddie Lack is no different than Cam Talbot in New York. Those guys both came in when the starters got hurt and were more than capable of carrying the mail.
Yeah.
And I think that's what resonates with everybody around the league because you got two guys who are 27 years old. Their numbers were similar. Their hits next year are 1.3, 1.4, very palatable deals. So you can understand why there'd be so much interest in those guys because at 27, that's when goalies kind of get it. That's when they start to take that next step and become, mentally sound, more even keeled and are able to handle everything that comes with that wacky position. So I can see why those two guys are at the top of the podium. But in Vancouver, it scares the bejesus out of the fan base that, it could be Miller and Markstrom. But the bottom line is they've got to get a second-round pick. They've got to try to get a third-round pick. That's going to kill them in this draft because it's so deep. I mean, I look at the Canucks right now. At 23, they're probably going to get one of the D-men they've targeted. And early in the second round, whether it's Edmonton's pick or Buffalo's pick or even Dallas's pick, they're probably going to get a center they're looking at. So that's the big deal here because the Canucks are trying. They've really targeted some guys, and they feel they're going to be there in the first, 35 to 40 picks.
I know Ryan Miller has a no-trade clause, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
But you talked about his knee injury. I look mm-hmm. at his age. He's 34 years old. Why wouldn't they look at moving him?
Because they can't.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's, we don't know where the cap's going to be at. Is it 71 or whatever? We'll find out next week. But I think the problem with where Ryan is in his game right now and coming off a very serious knee injury is that it's hard to move a guy like that. And I was kind of the mind that, you know, if this is going to be the tough year that I envision for the Canucks, and I mean tough, you know, you could always sort of speculate that, you know, come next March, maybe you can move them. Well, we saw how that worked when he went from Buffalo to St. Louis. So I think that's out of the mix too here. So, I mean, Miller got the money to come here. He was told that he was going to be the guy and that he was going to be grooming the next guy. But at this point in time, it's that old bugaboo about trying to have a guy win you enough games when you're trying to sort of rebuild on the fly. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. This conference is a killer. This division's a killer. And I have a hard time believing the Canucks are going to be in the playoffs next year.
What are they going to do with Kevin Bieksa? He's 34 years of age. His cap hit's 4.6, but he only makes 2.5 mil. Like, that's a guy who I think you know, a lot of teams would be willing to want to take. Maybe not in the summer because of his cap hit, but definitely during the season.
Yep. Well, he's one of those no trade clause guys that I believe Jim Benning is probably going to have a conversation with on some level. I mean, they did it last year with Jason Garrison, and Jim Benning's not afraid to have that conversation. You know, BX, as you mentioned, he's got a year left. There's no way they're going to re-sign him. And there's a guy, I believe, if you got a young team and you're looking for a kind of veteran-steadying presence, maybe that's the guy that you can get a second or third-round pick for. You know, I mean, there's a lot of different ways that Canucks are going to try to recoup those picks, and it might not necessarily be getting rid of a goaltender for a pick, or it could be a hockey trade, but there's no doubt. I have a hard time believing in Florida next weekend that the Canucks are not going to have a second and third round pick on Saturday. I just know the way Jim Benning's wired, and he's going to have those. And one option is to move a goaltender, and the other option is to move a guy like Bieksa. They've got, you know, they've got other guys that have no trades that might command later round picks, but a goaltender and Bieksa have been on the radar here all summer.
By my count, the Canucks have 10 guys with either no move or no trade clauses. And have you talked to Benning about that? Is that something he's going to shy away from moving forward?
Well, he did. I mean, when Derek Dorsett got his contract extension, Lucas Pisa got his just before the playoffs, they got their term, they got their money, but they didn't get a no trade. Doesn't believe in them. Won't hand them out. I believe it just handcuffs an organization too much. So, you know, they gave Spezza the money because they don't have the depth in the organization. They gave Dorsett the money and term because they believe he's really good at bringing the kids along, but they didn't get no trade clauses, and Jim Benning does not believe in them. I mean, they were handing them out like candy here in the past.
I know.
I mean, it was like, some of the deals were, you know, fair market value or whatever, but when you put that no trade clause, when you hang that on it, I mean, you're handcuffing yourself. You can't move these guys. And, you know, you have a situation with Bieksa who's, you know, he's very involved in the community and the charitable endeavors. And he's, you know, during the lockout, he had a lot of initiatives here to raise a lot of money for a lot of, like, he's really well thought of in town, which is great. I mean, Kevin's a good guy. But, I mean, if I'm a GM, I'm trying to move him. And I got to have that conversation with him. I mean, last year, you know, when the Canucks flamed out, he basically said, I'm going down with the ship. I don't want to go anywhere. But here we are a year later. I mean, he's 34. He just turned 34. So you better get what you can for him because you're not re-signing him, and he's just a diminishing asset.
Yeah, I find it interesting. Like, when Chris Higgins and Yannick Hansen have no movement clauses, something's wrong. Like,
well, Higgins is an interesting guy to me because basically at the end of it all, he's got two more years at 2.5, and at the end of the year he's a fourth liner. So he's way far removed from a second line winger. They've got, you know, Sven Barchi's. You know, it's there. I mean, it's up to him to just grab it and run with it. And, of course, he requires waivers next year, so, you know, Barchi's on the team. So, and that's the guy they gave up a second-round pick for from Calgary. So they need him playing, and they need to get something for him. I think that Higgins is, you know, he's a guy with, I mean, I would even take a late-round pick for him, something. I mean, this draft is so deep. I'd be having that conversation, too.
Talking Vancouver Canucks with Ben Kuzma from the Vancouver province. And you talked about Markstrom earlier, and I know Jim Benning obviously is going to publicly oversell him. I understand that. It's like Brian Murray asking for his top six forward for Robin Leonard. Yeah. He's never going to get it. But what when you talk to, you know, the organization, what is it about Markstrom they feel he's finally shown that he's NHL ready? Because you're right. Lots of guys have good AHL numbers. It doesn't automatically translate to it. I've had some scouts tell me what they think. What are the guys you've talked to told you about him?
Well, they tell me, you know, his mental capacity has improved, the ability to process the game, to handle the moment. I mean, You saw in the Calder Cup final, he was good and he was average, and occasionally he wasn't very good at all. I think that's an ongoing challenge for Markstrom. It's like some of those saves he makes in the American Hockey League, like the YouTube special where he, you know, he gives up the rebound and he's diving across the crease and he gets his paddle on the puck. I mean, that looks great, but if you break it down technically, he makes the initial save, but he's giving up the puck and he's not in position to push off properly. But to his credit, he's throwing his 6'6" body across the net and getting a paddle on it. I mean, it looks great. I mean, it was a YouTube sensation. Technically, that puck's in the net in this level. You know, in the American Hockey League, he makes a save. And I think that's the thing, is that he's gotten better at it in terms of his second save positioning. Occasionally, you see something like that where he wasn't. And that's a problem for big guys. I mean, they take up a lot of net, but when they give up a rebound, it's kind of like two brooms falling out of a closet. I mean, they have a hard time gathering themselves or pushing off. But he's gotten better. He's gotten better mentally, and I think that's why they're banging the drum so hard, that they're trying to sell him hard, because really, at the end of the day, you know, I'm one of the, and it's a bit of a minority in Vancouver, only from that perspective of, you know, what the value you could get back. But this team's going to be a world of hurt if Eddie Lack's not here.
Yeah, and, you know, Eddie Lack, he's a huge fan favorite in Vancouver. You know, seems to have a big sense of humor. The fans like him. You know, him and Luongo obviously have a lot of fun with one another on Twitter. I'm guessing, you know, his personality in the locker room, he's one of the favorites.
Oh yeah, he's a fan favorite. But you know, that's on the surface. I mean, this is a crazy market. I mean, I know we've called it a goalie graveyard, because that's what it's been, because of you know, past regimes where, you know, they never put a premium on goaltending. And, you know, Brian Burke always thought you could trade for one or get one in free agency. And then they get Luongo and they pay him stupid money and they can't move him. And they have Corey Schneider, a guy who would have been poster boy here. And they had to move Schneider at the draft 2 years ago because they couldn't move Luongo's contract. And a guy who was everything right about the organization ends up going to New Jersey, which turns into Bo Horvat. So I guess it kind of worked out in the end. But it's always been a problem here. The thing about Eddie Lack is that he worked relentlessly. Yeah, he's a happy-go-lucky kid, and he's properly wired for this marketplace. But I remember garbage bag day when we're talking to the players, and next day we're talking to management. Eddie Lack was on the ice. I mean, he was already working with goalie coach Rolly Melanson. He's improved his focus. His technical game is better. And he wants it bad. I mean, he wants it bad. He was a good foot soldier last year. And when Miller went down, he more than rose to the occasion. So did he have his problems that one game in Calgary in the playoffs? Absolutely, but he owned it. And that's what you like about a guy. I mean, if you know, just be honest and work at your craft and be better for it. So I think he's there. Let me put it to this way. I think Eddie Lack is there. I'm not so sure Jacob Markstrom is there. And that might be the big question mark out there, even though Jim Benning says he's getting calls on both guys. And we'll just have to see how that plays out.
It is going to be a very interesting time. What do you think the Canucks do? They're taking a defenseman, you're pretty certain, in the first round?
Well, they should. they don't have a guy. They do not have a guy in their system who's capable of stepping in. And they've got a lot of third-pairing guys. They've got, you know, Frankie Corrado, Adam Clendening, guys who spent most of the year in the A. Ben Hutton, you know, can he make the transition to the NHL? Right now, it's Chris Tanev and Alex Edler. Dan Hamhuis played well in the latter half of the season after coming off a serious groin injury that could have required surgery, but he elected not to have it. And after that, it's kind of a dog's breakfast. So they just don't have that. I mean, general managers always tell you we're going to take the best player, the best guy. They better take a defenseman at 23. They can do whatever they want. They get a second-round pick. If they want a center, if they want the kid out of here, Jansen Harkins, the center from Prince George, who they interviewed the first day of the combine, like him a lot. Todd Harkins' kid is, you know, he should be 6'3", 220 when it's all said and done. I could see that. And then they address two needs. Because this organization, eventually, guys, they got to start preparing for the post-Henrik Sedin era. I mean, they've got some interesting centers in Bo Horvat. Cole Castles had a great year in the O. Jared McCann had a great year in the O. But they're not number one centers. And eventually, you're going to have to draft a guy and hope that in 2 or 3 years he evolves into that. And that's why I think they want that second-round pick so bad, an early pick. because I think they got Harkins in the crosshairs as well. But that's my opinion. And, you know, they never really tell you what they're doing. But there's two needs for this organization, and one is to get some defensemen, and the second one is not to worry. And not, don't forget about the middle. Ah, let's not kid ourselves. They need wingers, too. So they need everything.
Well, hey,
other
man.
Other than that, you know, every year you prepare for the draft. Every year you have a gut feel for what you think your organization is going to do. Then you're there, and then you look and you see the picks, and you try, and then you scratch your head because I know who I would have went with, and they go another direction. So I like this regime, though. I like the new regime that had a great draft last year. We'll just have to see what happens in Florida.
Well, Benny, we will see you down there next week. Appreciate your time.
Absolutely, guys. Take care.